The first reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 20. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now, I commend to you God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." This is the word of the Lord. The next reading is Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the creatures were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John. The congregation will read the part in bold. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. That hymn we just sang is a paraphrase of Psalm 23. And in fact, actually, if I could have you turn in your bulletins to page 9, we have Psalm 23 there for you written out. And it has a leader portion and a left side and right side portion, so prepare yourselves appropriately. We're going to read Psalm 23 together on this Good Shepherd Sunday. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a pretty wonderful psalm. I venture to say it's right up there as perhaps the most well-known psalm, or certainly we use it the most. It's used in our funeral services. It's used kind of throughout the year, in fact. It's great to remind ourselves of our good, our perfect shepherd, the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, and leads us through this life into eternity. Jesus said of himself, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." That is our Good Shepherd, the one who loves us fully and who leads us, using our Young Time Lessons words, though we are dumb sheep, leads us and cares for us. Sometimes, even as we sing, throws us over his shoulders and carries us where we need to go. Certainly he does that, even as he brings us into heaven, to be with all those who've died in the faith before us, that he would continue to care for us here in this land where we know there are wolves and those who would snatch up the sheep, into heaven where we know things will be perfect. We will be in verdant pastures without sin or worry or care, taken there by our Savior Jesus. Now, this idea of our good shepherd is really funny because we also have things in the Bible, like our reading from Revelation, where in verse 17 of chapter 7, we hear the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. In one verse, he goes from being Lamb and then to also being shepherd. It seems kind of confusing. We're mixing analogies here, but we know that Jesus is our Paschal Lamb, the one who died for us and for our sins, the one who shed his blood that we might not die. In fact, we have this candle that he lit here. This is our Paschal candle. And during the season of Easter, we leave it lit at the end of the service, such that as you are leaving, you might look back over your shoulder and just take one last glimpse at the church, and you see that, you know what? Christ is living. He truly is risen. When we say, Christ is risen, Alleluia. Only one time this sermon, I promise. When we say that, we believe it. Jesus truly is alive. And when you look over your shoulder as you leave church, you see that candle still lit. And you are reminded Christ is alive. He is alive. He's defeated sin for you. And he's not just the Paschal Lamb who died, but he is our good shepherd who leads us safely home. And so, for those who wanted to make sure that to correct Robert last Sunday, he left it going because I asked him to. So don't worry. Good job. Thank you for also looking out for the safety of our church, though. It's okay. We'll keep an eye on the candle. But we leave it lit to remind ourselves that our Paschal Lamb, our sacrifice, is alive again. He is indeed our good shepherd. And as one who cares for his sheep, he actually has given us his church, this sheepfold that we get to be a part of. We all get to be his sheep. And I, for those who don't know, I've only shared it with our Sunday Bible study now, and our family, I'm sure, can already attest to what I'm about to say. I like sheep. I think they're pretty cute. And I love that as we drive here to church every Sunday, we come down 282nd, and we get to see some goats and some llamas, and they're fun. The goats are up on top of things. It's always a good time. But then we get on to 212, and we're coming on our way to church, and there's that, if you've ever been heading west on 212, you know there's that tall slope there with all the sheep out grazing, and nine times out of ten, I'll be in the middle of a sentence even, and I'll just stop and say, sheepy weepy. It's very fun. You should drive with me sometime on 212. It's great. The joke never changes, but it's always that good. So, it's just fun to see the sheep out there having a good time, safe in their sheep pen, having a great time, eating grass, and think, that's us. We're those sheep, just having a great old time, not a care in the world. There might be, you know, a coyote or a wolf or a stray car off of 212 that comes our way, but God is there to protect us in a way even greater than those sheep are protected there on that hillside. We are well cared for, you delightful sheepy weepies. You're doing great. We have a shepherd who loves you so fully, so wonderfully, that he has given you his word found in the Bible, and he's given you his church on earth, a sheepfold, a sheep pen that you get to be in, supported by your fellow sheep, and supported by your under-shepherd. This is a term used for pastors throughout history, that we are under-shepherds, or those who get to care for God's sheep. So when you see a pastor in any church, you can see a probably lightly stinky person taking care of good sheep out in the fields. An under-shepherd, of course, is there to direct you to the shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who has all truth, who can give you life eternal. If you should ever find yourself in a church, whether it's on travel or you should move, and the pastor who is preaching should preach something other than Jesus Christ as God who died for your sins and rose from the grave, if they should ever preach anything different, that is a poor under shepherd. And in fact, we hear about those individuals in Acts chapter 20. You see, you have Paul in Acts 20, who calls together all the elders of the church of Ephesus, and he has some last parting words to share with them, saying, "You'll never see my face again." He knows this is the last time he gets to be with these elders who he's trained up to be under shepherds for the church in Ephesus. And he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." He gives a very specific task to those elders. This is God's church. This is a group of God's sheep. You have a very clear and important task. Lead these sheep. Let them know they've been obtained by Jesus' blood. They are his own. Keep watch that no one would come and teach them anything false. Lead them astray. Give them a different gospel, Paul would say at a different time. "Do not listen to any gospel other than the one that I preach to you," he says. We trust in the true gospel found in God's word, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, our Good Shepherd. It is this church's goal to only preach that. As I was told about 9+ months ago by a certain pastor over there on my ordination day, we preach Christ and Him crucified. That is what this church and God's church on earth serves to do for all people. Let them know our Paschal Lamb died for our sins, and He lives and reigns through all eternity. That is what this church should always teach, and that is what every under-shepherd should teach, and what the sheep should go out proclaiming. You can use words. You don't have to baa at people, but you do get to share the truth that you have a good shepherd, one who loves you. And yet, Paul, right after giving this directive, says in verse 29, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." There will be outside forces that come and try to steal sheep away. There will be those who try to sneak in by a back way and give a different gospel, preach a different message, say wrong things about who Jesus is, teach improper things about who you are. And in fact, sadly, that even comes from within the own sheep pen. There are some sheep who become the black sheep of the family. Of course, I suppose we all are sometimes sinners and black sheep who need to be led back. That's a different parable. But there are some who would rise up and try to lead the group astray, even share a different gospel. And that's why it's so important that we draw ourselves back to what I said at the beginning of this message, what Jesus said in John chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." When we read and study God's word, when we hear it faithfully preached, when we dwell on it and we pray on it, we come to know the words of our Savior Jesus. He prays for discernment for all of his people, all of his sheep. That's our prayer for the whole church on earth, to discern what they hear. Is it from God? Is it from his word? Or is it something twisted, something changed? We know that Satan, and we've had this in our recent readings as well, likes to take what God has said, what God has made good and perfect, and just provide a little twist, a little tweak, changing it with the hope of leading sheep astray. It's not often that there's a big blatant lie with big signs and arrows pointing at it. "Don't go this way, it's the wrong way, but you should come anyway. It's very exciting. We have good grass over here, sheep." It's not that clear. Sometimes it's a little bit of that situation where the grass looks greener on the other side. Maybe we just try a little bit of this over here. Maybe I don't necessarily need to go to church. Maybe I can just Well, I'll just read the Bible on my own and figure it out on my own. Well, maybe I can, this is not a Christian leader, but I'll listen to them and hear what they have to say about the Bible. That sounds really good. Maybe I'll follow that idea. Just a little bit here and there, a little bit here and there. And oftentimes, we find that we move ourselves away from where we need to be. Thankfully, we have a Savior who does come out and search for us lost sheep and call us back and bring us back in. And not lead us by whacking us with his stick or anything else that he'd bring along with him, not giving us a swift kick in our sheep behind. But rather, he does lay us gently over his shoulders and lead us back to where we need to be. I suppose sometimes he might need to use his shepherd's staff on some of us, like myself sometimes. But he does so in a loving way, of course. Your good shepherd wants you to be here. Not just here at Christ the Vine, but here in his fold of sheep. Here in his flock. Here with those who love him and cherish the fact that we have been made his sheep. Elsewhere, the Bible talks about the separating of the sheep and the goats. In that concept, right, I always love bringing up that we would actually all be goats. We would all be out there just being really sad, ugly goats, wandering the hillside, uncared for. But we have a shepherd who actually makes us his sheep, brings us in and changes us and makes us his own. He said in verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. When Jesus died for you on the cross, when he shed his blood for you, that your sins might be fully paid for, he indeed did that. He paid for you. You are his possession. He has you, and he cares for you. He loves you dearly. He doesn't want to just give up what is his own. He won't let someone just take it and remove it from his person. He keeps you close to him because he loves you and you are his. We trust that no evil can pull us away from God. We trust that nothing could ever separate us from the love of God. He will follow us to all eternity, through our whole life. He will guide and direct us. And he will lead us to our heavenly home, where we will continue to experience that great love without any of the concerns of the wolves, the bears I heard down here at Children's Message. I even heard that maybe we could be called pandas a different time, but today we'll stick to sheep. I had to come up with a different fun name for pandas. It just doesn't have the same ring as sheepy weepy. But as we know and trust that our Savior, our good shepherd, does live and reign to all eternity. His light continues to shine throughout the whole world, through you, his sheep, through all faithful under-shepherds, through his whole church, his whole flock, which shares the good news and understands and remembers what he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me into life everlasting. Amen. May our Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.